Bibles tonight to Mark chapter 7. Tonight, as we observe the Lord's Supper as a church, I think it's important that we really focus our attention upon the one that we do this in memory of. The unleavened bread and the wine are both symbols of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are to do it in memory of His work, what He did on our behalf, and also we're to do this until He comes. As a New Testament Baptist church, it is part of the Great Commission for us to observe the ordinances as they were delivered. Now tonight, the only people who are eligible to partake of the Lord's Supper are those who are qualified as a member of Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church. In order to be a member, you must be saved by the grace of God. You must have scriptural Baptist baptism. And those two qualifications must be met in order to be a candidate to partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, some churches, well, I wouldn't call them churches because they're not of like faith. But they open it up to anybody that says they're saved. We don't do that. We believe that it is a church ordinance. It is strictly for the members that we have authority over. You can only extend the Lord's Supper as far as your authority to discipline goes. If you really believe what the teaching is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So tonight, as we have always done, I've been here for, this is year 28. We always observe the Lord's Supper as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not to be carried outside. You know, some denominations believe that they can take it to the hospital or the bedside. It's a church ordinance. It's for that particular body. And I always encourage people. You know, I want to partake of the Lord's Supper. Well, do it in your church. The church you belong to. That's where you should be partaking of the Lord's Supper. You want to partake with us? Then meet the qualifications of membership and submit to them, and we'll be glad, but not until. But tonight, I just want to, I read this in my devotions early this morning. I read Mark chapter 7 today. And verse 37 just struck me. It says, "And were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. He hath done all things well." As I pondered this phrase, my heart was overwhelmed with the perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how what is said of Him can be said of no one else who has ever lived. You may do some things well, but the fact is you don't do all things well. And in reality, even the very best things that we do as God's children, we still have a nature that is sinful and depraved that's contrary to God and His Word. It's something we have to constantly deal with and crucify and mortify until we get to glory. But when this is written of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was absolutely, literally true. He does all things well at all times, with no interruption. That cannot be said of anybody else in all the world, in all of human history. The Scriptures say about the one that we, who has redeemed us, the one who died in our place, the one who rose from the dead so that we might have life, the one that we're gathered tonight to remember, His perfect finished work. It is said of Him that He did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. He Himself confessed that He always did those things which pleased the Father. Every moment, every day, every year of His earthly life was spent in absolute perfection. He never had a thought of sin, never spoke a word of sin, never committed a deed of sin, never had a motive towards sin. He literally has done all things well. He is the truth. He's the only one that could say with absolute certainty and honesty, I am the way, the way. That implies there is no other way. He declared, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. He is the truth. Meaning that there is no admixture of error in His person. There was never any deceit. There never any guile. He is holy, harmless, separate from sinners. He went to the cross with no sin of His own, but was willing to bear the sins of all of His people. He who knew no sin was willing to become sin in the sense that all of His, all those that the Father gave Him, all of their sins, each and every particular one, all those sins were imputed to Him. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. He had no sin, but He bore the sins of His people. And He put them away by the sacrifice of Himself. He is called the Holy and the Just One. And He did what no one else was capable of doing, making Him the only qualified mediator and Savior. This is the one that we've gathered tonight to worship, to exalt, to magnify and glorify and honor. The one who has done all things well and who was willing in that process of doing all things well to offer Himself as a sacrifice for our sins, for our iniquities, for our blasphemies, For our ungodliness, our waywardness, our worldliness, our unholiness. He did all things well, and that included fulfilling every prophecy relating to His first advent. Every precise detail, He did all things well. Every step that He took was on purpose. Everywhere He went, He did it with this mission in mind that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He had determined to die in the stead of all that the Father had given Him. And to rescue them, deliver them, save them from their sins. He lived a perfect life. He did not shirk the cross, but embraced that cup of suffering that had been determined before the world began. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He knew that He must drink the cup of wrath and drink our damnation dry. And as He was doing all things well, He was able to say in absolute submission, "Not my will, but thine be done." The cup which my Father hath appointed, shall I not drink it? When He was on the cross, He was doing all things well. He was accomplishing what no one else could possibly do. He's the only one that was qualified for this work. And He gave everything. As He cried out, "I thirst," it was because He was suffering in our stead. We would have been with the rich man in hell for all eternity, crying out that we were thirsty. But He thirsted for us as He did all things well on the cross. We often think of all the physical sufferings that His body endured, and they were horrific and painful. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and by His stripes we are healed. But His soul suffering, bearing the full weight of our sin and its penalty, bearing the wrath, the holy wrath, the just wrath of the Father on our behalf. He loved us and gave Himself for us. And just as He predicted, He did all things well in His life, in His death. And He said, "I'll lay my life down, and I'll take it up again." And just as He said, just like Jonah was in the fish for 3 days and nights, so will the Son of Man be in the tomb. And He rose again from the dead, just as He predicted. He defied sin and death and hell and damnation. He rose from the dead. He put away our sins. And He rose again without sin. He did all things well. When he did that work, he cried out, "It is finished. Absolutely nothing can be added to it or taken away from it. I have accomplished the work that my Father gave me to do, and I'm going to prove it when I raise from the dead." And he rose again. He did all things well. Our Lord gave Himself so that we could be saved. As part of the Holy Trinity, the entire plan of redemption was mapped out by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And tonight, the only reason you're here, the only reason that you are even contemplating the One who did all things well is because He brought you out of the miry pit. He brought you out of that pit of sin that you lived in. He brought you out of the darkness that you once enjoyed in this world. He brought you off the broad road that leads to destruction and put you on the narrow way. He translated you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He has done all things well. He saved the worst of sinners, changing hearts and wills and lives for all eternity. And tonight you can rest assured that the One who has done all things well makes no mistake. If He's called you by His grace, if He's called you by name as one of His sheep, you'll never perish. You belong to Him by way of blood redemption, and you'll never be lost. Because He declared, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me." He does all things well. In His finished work, in the work of redemption, in our personal salvation, and even now, tonight, as we worship, He's working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He promised that He would send another Comforter. He dwells within us individually, and He dwells with us corporately as a church to empower and energize us to carry out the Great Commission. And tonight, this is one part of that. And I believe that Jesus is coming soon. Could be tonight. We're to do this. We're to observe this ordinance till He come. Meaning that we're to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He's done all things well, so much so that He didn't just save you from hell. He saved you from sin. And ultimately, His purpose is to conform you. This is the end goal, the end purpose of predestination, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And because He's done all things well, one day, He is going to change us so miraculously that we will forever be done with sin. Our sin nature will be completely put away. We will see Him as He is, and we shall be like Him. He's worthy. He's done all things well. He's left nothing undone. He is worthy tonight of our worship, our praise. And so tonight, I pray that this is a phrase that comes to mind as we reflect on the person and the work of the Lord Jesus and the way in which He works in our lives each and every day. Let this ring in our hearts and ears, He hath done all things well. It astonished them. They were astonished beyond measure. And tonight, if you're saved, you ought to be astonished. You ought to be in awe as you ponder the majesty and the glory of our great